Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. It is good to have you all with us on another Power Friday. And I tell you what, all of you are in for a treat, but especially those of you who are helping children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you name it, children become great athletes. Because we're going to be hearing from an outstanding athlete in her own right, but also a consultant, a health coach, a professor. And I'm telling you what, the lady is outstanding. Professor Sharkey Zartman. Professor Zartman, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here, Carl.
I tell you what, I am happy to have you with us. And, you know, I got to ask you, first of all, as I was sharing with you before, I really take my hat off to you for having been such an accomplished athlete. And I want to ask you, what got you started in athletics, not as a coach, but as an athlete?
Well, I was always a tomboy when I was growing up and just, you know, didn't like the girly things. I liked to play ball and get dirty. And so I was considered, you know, tomboy. But at that time, there weren't that many sporting opportunities for girls and women. And so, but I just kept playing because I loved it and eventually ended up getting serious about volleyball because I love the sport so much and got to see the Olympic team before they went to play in the 68 Olympics. And I thought, I want to wear that uniform. I want to wear that USA uniform. And so I became kind of obsessed about getting better, found a really good coach, and trained my butt off for like the next 6 years. And I finally made it. I made the national team. So,
that is
yay.
Awesome. So we can get an inside perspective on what it means to really, really train and prepare to be an Olympic competitor. We've seen some things on TV, but we get to hear it directly from an Olympic competitor. What goes into that training?
Well, first of all, I was on the national team. I didn't go to the Olympics, but I went to the World
national
University
team.
Games.
Gotcha.
It's the same thing. It's just not that premier event. But I've got to tell you, the amount of work an athlete has to put in to be able to play at that level and the amount of support that they need from the parents and coaches is tremendous. You don't get to that level just by, you know, just showing up and doing the minimum. I mean, you know, you have to train harder. You have to, you know, be focused. In order to really be able to achieve that level, that has to be almost the most important thing in your life. And, you know, so it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And for, you know, parents who want their kids to achieve that level, that's very difficult on both the kids and on the parents, and a lot of times the kids don't make it. And so the reason why Dr. Bob and I wrote this book was because so many kids play sports, and there's so many other benefits to playing the sports other than making, like, the national team or getting a college scholarship or, you know, these championships. There's so many life lessons that can be learned. And when I look back on my experience as an athlete, I can see how sports is the perfect training ground to learn all these important lessons that you're going to use for the rest of your life. And so, it's tough to get to the top, but anybody, any kid can learn a lot about life by playing sports.
And I tell you what, it's so fascinating that you mentioned how important it is that the child has good support from the parents. We could see it from the coach, but the parent, who's often, we don't expect the parent to be at the skating rink. We don't expect the parent to be at the side of the volleyball court, etc. But that child, especially like you said, you're talking about going to the nationals. That child really needs support. In what ways is it important that the parent actually support that child well?
Well, they need to remember that the parent cannot become emotionally invested into the outcome because, you know, as adults, I think a lot of us are used to, you know, we're competitive, we like success, and when our kid is out there, you know, of course we want them to be successful, but we have really no control over what happens on the field or the court. And so we we really do have to kind of back off, and we see that some parents don't know how to do that. I mean, they're just making themselves and their kids miserable because they're trying to control everything. And, you know, I think that that is really important for parents. Yeah, there's a lot that you can do to help your kid be successful, but once the kid is competing, you just have to sit there and watch and be supportive. And for some parents, they cannot do that. They're in fight or flight, you know, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're just, oh my gosh, you know. And so, yeah, I think we need, as parents, we need kind of a little reality check. First of all, this isn't for the parent. This is for the kids. Sports are for the kids. Right?
Yes, that is right.
It's not what we want them to get out of it, you know. You know, this is for the kids. And I think that nowadays the reason we have so many problems in youth sports is because it's been taken over by the adults. And by the time these kids get to be 14, I read this in a research study a while back, between 70 and 80% of these young kids have quit playing sports because of the pressure, the stress that they have on them from the adults. They just don't want to do it anymore. And so I think that's sad.
Because that's something that we're talking about getting into sports. For a lot of kids, this is something that they naturally enjoy.
Right.
And then their parents take it in the wrong direction. And it's no longer fun for the children.
Right. I have to tell you a funny story. My my little niece, I mean, she played soccer in high school. She was a really good player. And she volunteered to coach an ASO team. And these kids were 4 and 5 years old. And, of course, when kids are that young, as long as you can get them to run in the right direction, you're doing a good job, right? I mean, a lot of times they just start running, you know. And there was this one, I think it was a grandparent, that actually, after the game, went up to her and said, "You are the worst coach in the world. You don't know what you're doing." And she's going, "Oh, my God, these kids are like 4 and 5, and this grandfather's mad because we didn't win. And they don't even keep score at that young."
He was overly invested, and that's what you're telling us. We got to make sure we do not get all vested like that. Well, Professor Zartman, you have your book entitled Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where you have put a wealth, and of course, as you mentioned, co-authored with Dr. Weil, but you have put a wealth of information in here, and you've begun to give us some good tips on how parents can parent well, but you are also talking when it comes to how they handle themselves when it comes to their child's sports life.
Yeah.
But you were talking about also some life lessons that the children learn as they go through the act of learning how to play the game. And one of the things that you talk about is the accountability factor.
The accountability, boy, I'll tell you, that's a huge one these days. I mean, it seems like most people don't want to accept the responsibility for their choices, right?
That is right.
Everybody's got excuses. They're blaming everybody else. You know, I mean, it's a national problem. But in sports, I mean, you know, as you get more attuned to playing a sport, you realize that if you don't accept accountability for your actions, you're never going to get better. Like if you're always blaming the other kids or you're always blaming the referees, and a lot of times you don't even have to do that. The parents are doing it for you. But, you know, if you know, you can say, okay, well, I made a mistake, or maybe I need to get better at this skill, you know, so that doesn't happen again. I want to be better. That's where you become powerful in the sport, is by accepting you know, the accountability for your actions when you're an athlete. And that transfers over to every part of your life, as you know. And I think that's one of the most important lessons, because every child can learn how to be accountable when they're playing a sport, as long as their parents will let them learn that lesson. And so you find that the
children really respond well to that lesson. They don't feel like it's, I just want to play the game. I don't want to be learning all of that stuff. Let me just play the game.
Yeah, well, especially as the kids get into more of a competitive situation. You know, when the kids are really young, they just want to play with their friends and have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they really don't care about winning. In fact, I remember I had a bunch of really young kids. They wanted to play, and I took them to a tournament. And, you know, we were so young, we didn't win hardly any games. We didn't win any games until the first game we won, and the parents were there. And we won the game, and our kids were the youngest team, and, you know, and the parents were jumping up and down and screaming, and the kids turned and looked at me, and they go, "What happened, Coach?" And I go, "You guys won." And this one little kid goes, "Does that mean we have to stop playing?" I go, "Well, the game's over." And I go, "Oh, darn it, because they were having fun. They didn't care that they won."
That is amazing.
I know. And so I think as the kids get older and start, you know, wanting to win more, they realize that if they want to be good, that they have to work on their skills. They have to practice. You can't keep saying, making excuses for not being good in your sport. And so, so I think all kids can learn that, especially as they start to get older and want to get better, mm-hmm. especially if you want to get to a high level in the sport. You've got to accept the accountability of what you do and what you don't do. Yeah. That's a huge lesson, right?
Well, how old were you when you decided that you wanted to go to the Nationals?
How old was I?
Right.
Okay, I was 17, and I was on the high school volleyball team, and my coach, who, you know, I really liked, She basically told me there was no future in the sport for me because I was short and weren't really any opportunities. And that really made me sad, but it also motivated me. I thought, now I really want it. When somebody tells you can't do something,
yes.
You know, like for me, that's a little spark plug. And so I just became obsessed with it. I found a coach who was really, really good at coaching and playing volleyball, and asked him if he would coach me, and he said if I got some players together, he would coach our team. And he was tough, though. He was a football coach at our high school, and all the guys were afraid of him because he was so tough. And they go, "Are you kidding me? You asked that guy to be your volleyball coach?" And I went, "Yeah, I want to get really good." And to make a long story short, it took us actually 9 years before we won our first national title.
Wow.
That's how long it took. But the cool part about the story is that 8 years after I met him and asked him to coach me, we started dating and we got married, and we've been married for 42 years.
Wow. Awesome. Congratulations. So that paid off in more ways than one.
I know. So you never know the doors that are going to open when you just keep trying and you never give up. That's the thing, is
yes.
that people always said, "Why are you so obsessed with this?" And I go, "Because I really want this. I really want to wear that uniform. I really want to play at a high level." I got to play at UCLA. I was on their national championship title
yes.
team. And, you know, I mean, I just, you know, that was my vision. That was my dream. And so
I worked to make that dream come true. So what were some of the keys? When we come back, can you share with us some of the keys to you? I mean, I know you had to work hard. You had to you had to train, you had to be where you needed to be at the same time, attitude and all that. But some of the specific things that you had to do to compensate for lack of height.
Oh, well, I had to.
When we come back from the break.
Oh, Okay, yeah, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, Carl. Professor Sharkey Zartman, outstanding athlete, outstanding coach. She is a coach in more ways than one, too, by the way. We'll be talking about that later, too. So stay with us. We'll be right back.